chapter 4. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Now, earlier I mentioned this in Bible class. If you're wondering why I was wearing a hair rubber band on my wrist. Now, if you have girls, you know, okay? Now, having three daughters, now a granddaughter, I've literally spent over the last 30 years of my life picking up rubber bands, bobby pins. There, she's got one on her wrist. You know, the little snappy, you put it in and then it kind of pops over, right? The big hair bows when they're little. The big headband with the humongous bow that moms put on their babies. It's so heavy, they're kind of, their head's leaning a little bit. So I've literally spent the last 30 years of my life finding these things everywhere. And the worst ones, you know, you get in a pack of like 5 billion, the little tiny rubber bands for the girls with the little, the thin hair. And, you know, moms only can, you know, loop it a few times, right? You know, you use one or two and then and the rest end up in the vacuum cleaner, right? And so I've spent the last 30 years of my life picking these up, and I'm not exaggerating. It's had to be 100 times in my life. I go to put a shoe or a boot on. What is that? I pull it out, and it's one of these, or it's a hair clippy. Or, you know, those of you with only boys, you don't understand. They're everywhere. This was in the desk in my office. How did it get there? I don't know. I find them in my pockets. They're in the car. You're doing yard work. You'll find them. They're everywhere. And so I've been picking these up for at least 30 years now. You know, it's just one of those little things that whenever I pick them up, I think of my girls. And so, yes, it's kind of funny and a little bit annoying, but also, you know, I'm going to be sad one day when I don't have them to pick up anymore, right? It's going to be kind of sad. You know, having spent 30 years now with Kennedy to be around, you know, maybe several more years when she's with us, you know, it's going to be kind of sad when I don't have to pick these up anymore. And so it's just something now that I think of that my girls leave behind. Just, you know, one of those things just makes you think about them. And so, you know, it got me to think, you know, and ask you this, what do you leave behind in your wake? I'm not talking about hair bands, right? What do you, you know, we make a wake all the time, big, small, we all leave a wake. What do you leave behind? You know, when someone has an interaction with you, what do you leave behind from that interaction? How do you, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, interact with people? What do they come away with once they're done interacting with you? Right? We all touch the lives of the people around us, either good or bad. What do you leave behind? You know, smiles or frowns, words of encouragement or discouragement. You know, laughter, tears, happiness, sadness, building up, tearing down. What do you leave behind? Complaining or encouraging? What do you leave behind? You know, as a heaven-bound, blood-bought possession of Jesus Christ, what are you leaving behind? You know, what do you leave behind for others to think about you as a Christian? You know, what is it that you're leaving behind? So I want you to think about that. Philippians chapter 4, just a small window here into what we as Christians should leave behind wherever we go. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So just a small window there of some things that we ought to leave behind. You know, we ought to leave behind that interaction with other people as them say, now there's an individual that meditates on good things, you know, pure things, lovely things, things of good report. You know, they got the peace of God in them. Right here, verses 10 through 13, this is putting into practice what we just read right there. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. But that I speak in regard to need, having learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, you know, what do you leave behind? That's putting that into practice, right? No matter the situation, good or bad, you know, feast or famine, freedom or prison, whatever it is, as a blood-bought possession of Jesus Christ, what are you leaving behind, right? And so, brethren, I'd like us to think here, you know, if we're saved, let's act like it. If we're saved, let's act like it. Let's act like it in the people that we deal with every day, with our family, neighbors. You know, if we're heaven-bound, then let's share it. If you're saved, act like it. If you're heaven-bound, share it. Now, this evening, if you are subject to the gospel invitation, that opportunity is available. If you need to be immersed into Christ, we'll help you with that. If you need to study that more, let's sit down and let's study that. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. If you've done that and you've fallen away and you realize that and you want to come back, let us show you the love of Christ and help you change that. If you have a need this evening, please let someone know as we stand, as we sing.